Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Nicole Brandon with Hourglass Brides, and I welcome you to today's program where we've been continuing to talk about health, fitness, relationships for brides, whether this be the very first relationship and the very first time that you're getting married, or whether this is your third marriage, or whether you've had a spouse pass away or a divorce and you're coming back into it, everything that you've been hoping to find. This is the community. These are the answers. These are the specialists. These are the people that are the very top in their field that are sharing their heart, their soul, their information, their expertise about really helping you find the dream life that you've desired always. And today we have such an extraordinary special guest, and I've been interviewing people for, well, probably 15, 20 years right now. And through all the interviews that I've done, I've been really honored and really blessed because so many people have such a wealth of information to give to people and to share and to really make their lives better and to make a difference. But today I'm extraordinarily excited because I could truly say in all of the interviews I've done and in all of the years that I've been interviewing people that today's guest is one of the most beautiful, most special, most talented, most gifted, most caring, most humorous, and most spectacular people I've ever met. I mean, I fell in love with Lisa, who you will meet today, the day that I met her, just in who she is and the presence that she brings to the world and how much she cares and gives to other people. And I'm so excited that you're going to get the chance to experience her today. So our guest today is Lisa Conrad Cohen. It's a name you want to know, Lisa Conrad Cohen. She is a matchmaking and a relationship expert. Lisa has been matchmaking people for as long as she can remember, even when she was in high school. She was successfully known for guiding and advising her friends through the trials of their dating at that time. And shy kids always came to her for advice, whether that was on how to get someone to notice them or more. She just always seemed to come to the rescue for people. And in college, she found that this was somehow her calling. It was just so natural for her. And then as time went on, she was looking to choose a career that she could really sink her teeth into. And she met a woman who truly taught her the intricacies and all of those ins and outs of the matchmaking business. And together they formed an internet-based matchmaking company. They started out with only 200 clients, and after only 5 years, they expanded into over 6,000 clients. That's right, 6,000 clients, if you can imagine that. And then now matchmaking for 7 years professionally, she expanded again, and she created Dating Designers in 2006. And after working as a matchmaker and a dating coach for so many years, she decided that she really wanted to do it in a more traditional way. And she wanted her company to be about working one-on-one with her clients. And she wanted to give them more individual attention and to fill each person's needs. And I noticed so much of her. It's just who she is as a person. And so Lisa now combines traditional European techniques with her modern signature style, which really enhances people's personal dating goals. Dating Designers, which is a boutique firm that offers matchmaking, coaching, and the remodeling, which I love and we'll talk about today, of people's social lives. Wives who want to know how to spice up their marriage, ladies asking why they don't get a third date, men who just can't land the type of woman that they've always wanted. Lisa expertly answers all of these questions by coaching them through their dates and by tweaking things that might just help them in their relationships, which is so special. She offers sexual advice, so we're going to talk to her about that and much, much more. So whether you're looking for a new relationship or you're trying to enhance really the quality of the current one, and I think she's such an appropriate guest for people who are starting their lives together, Lisa's unique talents will bring you closer to fulfilling your desired results and fulfilling those dreams you've already had. Lisa's verified matchmaking success rate is remarkable. She has a 75% success rate, which is just amazing. And I'm going to let her work on me, and we'll talk about that on the show. And her clients all have one thing in common. They have a singular goal of developing a deeper, more meaningful relationship. And Lisa's client base includes A-list celebrities from all aspects of the entertainment industries, all types of people, all walks of people, all that come to her, different ages, different nationalities, you know, social ideas, and she's able to take anyone's heart and expand that and find a match. And Lisa has shown her matchmaking skills on the television show Kendra, on the E! Network. She's been featured in numerous print publications, media websites, radio talk shows, including the nationally syndicated radio programs The Dennis Prager Show, Mancombe Experience, KABC with Kevin James, KFI with Lee Sam Walter, 24/7 Comedy, The Art of Living on LA Talk Radio and Los Angeles-based Conway and Whitman, and also on KLSX, The Real Life, and Manhattan-based The Good Life. She currently resides here in Southern California, lucky for me, that I actually get to know her and see her, and I'm so excited to share her with you today. So let's welcome today's guest, Lisa Conrad Khan. Lisa, welcome.
Oh, Nicole, what an intro. I'm so flattered. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's such a blessing. It's such a gift, and I'm so thrilled that you are here. And for our guests that have been listening for quite some time, we have been trying and hoping to get Lisa on the show, so I'm so glad your schedule allowed you to be with us today.
I know. I knew we had that
today.
Little problem just, last time. Yeah.
So, it's so nice to have you here and to be part of the show. And so I have to ask you, in looking at this, you've been doing this since high school? This was hasn't
you know what? Knew? I've been doing it. I You know what? Honestly, I've been doing it probably since kindergarten. I mean, I even remember when I tried to fix this little boy Perry up with another girl in kindergarten, and I've been doing it ever since I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I've always been a people person, and I always wanted to bring people together. It's just been something, a gift that I was born with, I guess. And I never was great at fixing myself up, but I was always really good at fixing other people. I always wanted to do so much for others and make a difference. And it carried through my whole life. And it's been really great. And I just love what I do. I love making people feel good and helping others, you know, especially with their love life.
I love it. You know, and knowing you have such a radiance and such an effervescence. And so, you know, somebody can look at you and say, oh my God, she's so beautiful and you're so beautiful. But I also know you are such a great listener. When I watch you listen and the expressions that you actually take in, everything that someone is saying in like a whole emotional, whole different way than other people. And that's extraordinary to watch someone listen that well. So, you know, when I'm talking to our listeners now, we have, you know, young brides that are just getting married. We have people that this is their third or their fifth marriage, mm-hmm. never learned to communicate. And people, obviously, that had a spouse that has passed away or, you know, they're starting over. Someone that, you know, has
right.
passed young, you know, due to a motorcycle accident or tragedy or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, you know, when people are looking to find the love of their life, why should someone call you? What would propel someone to jump out of their seat and to call you? Because
first of all, thank you for telling me I'm a good listener, because I've always been told I'm a terrible listener. It's funny. That's always been one of the qualities that I've always wanted to improve on myself. I've always felt that I didn't listen enough and I needed to listen more. And I've learned that over the years because, you know, when someone says to you, well, did you just hear what I said? And if, you know, it's just the worst thing is when someone feels you're not listening to them. And my kids sometimes tell me that. They say, Mom, did you just hear what I said? And so I really believe, and not only in relationships, but even with just friends, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, kids, and parents, and listening is the only way you learn is when you listen. And I always tell my kids, you know, when you're in class, when the teacher's talking, you really need to listen. That's the only way you'll grow and you'll learn, you know, that's the way to learn. So for me, what I focus on mostly in relationships that are healthy relationships are, you know, is concentrate on communicating with that person. Communication is the number one ingredient in a relationship. This is before anything else. Yes, we want the sex to be great. Yes, we want to be attracted to the person, of course. You know, we want to connect. Well, part of the connection is the communication. If you have no communication, you have nothing. So I really work with people one-on-one. I coach people one-on-one. I have husbands calling me. I have wives calling me. This is not just for single people. I have women attacking me at the gym saying, Can you please work with my husband? He's the worst communicator. I feel like I'm talking to the wall. I feel like when I'm telling him something, he just, it goes in one ear and out the other. And that's why the romance is gone, and that's why the romance is not what it was in the beginning. You know, just because you're married for 10 years doesn't mean the romance has to go away. It doesn't have to. But it's a two-person job, and we both have to, it's a give-and-take thing. So for the men out there who are so preoccupied with their jobs, and I understand, you know, you're stressed out, you're in your... Remember, when you come home at the end of the day, remember who's there, who's waiting for you, who loves you and who's waiting for you. You need to open up those ears and you need to focus on that person who truly, truly, truly cares about you. And you need to open the line of communication. So I do that a lot with people. I work a lot with people and I really help them. I help them learn how to communicate better and their marriages become better and their relationships become stronger and much healthier.
That's amazing. And now, you know, I know people have so many questions, you know, that they want to ask you. And, you know, I'm going to ask you a couple that I'm sure just burn for people. And people say, you know, that they've been dating online for years and they've met men who look nothing like their photo. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've heard
that experience. Or then they're years older than they say they are.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I mean, I have tried. I have to tell you, I have tried, you know, and it was not a very good experience for me. And we will continue, you know, talking about that, you know, in future shows. But that's why someone like you, who actually is so honest and can see and knows who the right person is. So, what would you say to that? To those people that are doing that, and to
the people that are putting old, you know, photos on all these websites, these online websites, that are putting old photos from 10 years ago, obviously they're very insecure about the age they are now. They're trying to deal with that, and they're also, you know, not really feeling good about themselves. Obviously, because if you have to put a photo on that's from 5-10 years ago, well, then you're not really... This is what I tell people. The online dating, I'm not against the online dating. I think people, you know, have some success with it. But what I do tell people is you go into it with no expectations, because if somebody walks through the door who doesn't look like their photo, you're going to be, you know, of course you'll be disappointed. The bottom line is, who is this person in person? And that's why I meet with, you know, everyone in person beforehand, because I want to make sure they're telling me that they are their age, and I want to make sure they look like their photo. I want to represent them as accurate as it should be. I would hate for somebody to introduce them to someone who I think is 10 years younger because they look 10 years... I mean, it would be just, you know, it's completely, it's deceiving. And so I would say to you, everyone online, feel good about yourself and be proud of your age and be proud of who you are and be proud of what you look like. By the way, a photo is not everything either. I mean, I can see a photo of the most beautiful woman with this great profile and sit across a table from her and feel nothing. She could be as boring as it's really about meeting that person in person. So, Nicole, what I have to say to you is, you know, I love that you have the guts to do this. I think it's great, but just be aware that sometimes people are not who they say they are. You know, and you'll know in 10 minutes. I tell people when you meet somebody in person, it usually takes about 10 minutes to know whether or not you feel at least a connection with this person.
Absolutely, and I know, yes.
You have to be smart about it and meet somewhere, of course, in a public place. Never have the person pick you up at home. Go to a coffee shop. And one thing I will say is if the person is good on paper and if the person seems like a nice person, the first date is always a little bit scary. So let them kind of, you know, give them a chance. If they don't repulse you, go on a second date. If there's
That's
something
great.
There, okay, they don't have to be, You don't want to. They don't have to be the person that you want to jump on top of in 5 minutes. Okay, that's not what real life is about. That you see that in the movies. Real life is about: is this person nice? Does this person have something to offer? Does this person have anything that interesting about them that really draws me to them? Okay, do I really enjoy this person? Do I want to see this person again? Do I want to get to know this person? Okay, it's not about I don't want to have sex with this. It's not about that. Okay, we're you know, when you're in your 20s, yeah, sometimes, you know, people get caught up in that, all that. But as we get older, we want to be
really
with our best friend, someone we feel that
caring,
we want to, you want to hear the most important thing? You want
absolutely,
to be able,
of course.
This is the most important thing, and I want everyone to hear this.
Okay, I'm marking this down. I'm writing down
most important thing. You want to be able to be yourself with this person. And no one else but yourself.
That's great advice, Lisa. It's really good advice. And, you know, as you talk about that, you work with men, that women come to you and ask you to work with their husbands because they're no longer communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you know, through your years of experience and also your innate ability, really have those tools and techniques to teach people how to communicate from who they are. And, you know, on the online subject, I know that other people will say, you know, I met this guy online and he reached out to me, but then I never heard back from him. Or did I do something wrong? Or maybe the guy never calls, just texts or something like that. And just, hey, you know, Lakers did great today or whatever. So if you meet somebody, how do you teach people to communicate properly?
You know, I find a lot of men have this habit of contacting a woman they see online, they find them attractive, they find them interesting, they contact them online, they'll start this little banter back and forth via email, and the woman's wondering, well, what the hell is he thinking? Are we going to meet? Are we not going to meet? Is he, what is he, a texting addict? I mean, what is this deal about just this email?
I've had that experience.
So many women who tell me this, and one thing I do is I help women with when they're ready to respond to an email. I assist them in what to write, because a lot of these women sound way too needy in their emails. And the minute you sound needy or desperate, you will never hear back from him again. And when you don't sound needy and you're more playful, it's more endearing, and the man is more interested. So he will then either say, you know what? Let's meet. Let's set up a date. When are we meeting? That's my goal. My goal is to get this person to make that happen. You have to make that happen, because if you're going to spend your life texting and emailing, you're going nowhere fast.
Right. Okay? I mean, I cannot tell you, even personally myself, where I've met people. Even I've met people in person, and then we have texting wars. You know, and they don't.
No.
They
doesn't
say,
work.
Let's get together, but we actually never get together. But
well, then, you know what?
It's so bizarre.
Then those people are into playing a certain game, and they find it attractive to do this texting thing because they feel important. See, it makes them feel important. These men who do this are not worth the time. So you have to basically say bye-bye and move on to the next one, because this is just wasting your time. And you don't want to waste your time, right?
No, the time's too precious.
Our time is too precious.
It is, and it's frustrating. And then, okay, and then let's say all the big questions that I'm sure our listeners are hanging on for. So now you do get to a date, and the guy's a great guy. Do you sleep with people on the first date?
No, you don't sleep with people.
What do you talk about?
You don't sleep with people on the first date, because then they have nothing to look forward to. I don't care how good you are. You could be like the best hooker in the world. I don't care. You don't sleep with a guy on the first date. You don't do it.
Women ask that all the time, right?
I have women all the time asking me.
Well, is there a 50 rule?
No.
Are you supposed to talk about finances? Are you supposed to talk about your ex? Do you talk about favorite foods, favorite positions?
No.
Like,
no,
you
don't talk about
the perfect conversation of a
first date. When you're on a first date, what you're basically interviewing this person to be your husband. So what you want to do is you want to talk to him like you're interviewing him without sounding like you're the employer interviewing the employee. You want it to be more on a friendly level. So, because friends before lovers, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Of course.
So, yes. Because you want to like the person before you have sex with him, because if you have sex with him first and then you really hate him, and then what's the point? So you're just basically giving yourself to somebody that you don't even like, so why would you do that? So you really want to like him because he won't – unless you like him, he doesn't deserve to have you. So you really need to get to know this person. So you ask him about his family. You ask him about his interests. You ask him what was he like growing up. What were you like as a kid? Just little questions just to get to know who this person is. You ask him, are you friendly with any of the people you grew up with when you were a boy? When you were in elementary school, did you have a lot of friends? And do you keep in touch with those friends? You know, you could tell a lot about a person when they are, they carry those friendships through their entire life. It tells a lot about a person who's a loyal friend. People who don't keep in touch with friends throughout the years, it's a little iffy, a little bit of a red flag for me, because people who are family-oriented, are you close with your mom or your dad? What was it like with your siblings growing up? If they tell you, oh, I can't stand my mother, I can't stand my father, I can't stand my sister and my brother, then you know you have some issues here. They're coming from a dysfunctional...
Absolutely.
It's like you know you're getting into like, okay, this guy is bitter and angry about his family life. Why? Something happened. Something happened along the way, and is he going for therapy? So you basically... We all want someone who comes from a healthy background, right?
Oh, absolutely.
None of us are perfect. We all have our stuff. Listen, I don't care who it is. Even the most perfect person you think is out there isn't out there. So you'll never find perfection in anybody because there's no such thing. What you can find is...
And I think it's hard. For me personally, my parents have such a beautiful marriage. I mean, my dad proposed on the first date.
That's beautiful.
And when... It is. And when my mom, was still living with her parents at the time, and when my grandfather came in to check on her and said, how was your date? And my mom said, I'm getting married. And my grandfather said, you're having a bad dream. Go back to bed. And the next day, my father came and asked for my mother's hand in marriage, and both her parents made them wait a year before they got married. And you've never seen two people more in love.
Okay,
the way they respect each other, the way they make each other laugh, it's hard for me because I've seen
You're comparing
that.
Yourself
I've seen
to
perfect.
Yes.
Yes.
You're looking for, I get a lot of people coming to me that have very amazing stories like that, where their parents have been married for 50 years and they are so loving and love each other and they've been wonderful parents. And that is, listen, I am envious of you. I think it's fantastic that you grew up surrounded by that. I don't want you to have this thing in your head thinking, that's the way my life is. If you constantly have these expectations, it's like, when you're trying to get pregnant, I mean, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying when people are trying to get pregnant and they're constantly trying and trying and trying and trying and they expect to get pregnant and then it never happens. Well, do you know when people get pregnant? When they're not thinking about it. So for you, I want you to go into a relationship not constantly saying, I want my marriage to be like my parents. I want my marriage. Because if you constantly have that on your mind, you are always going to find something that's wrong. Okay? And I don't want you to do that. Now, I love that your parents were happy. That's great. But I'm telling you right now, and first of all, I bet your mother didn't sleep with your father on the first date. You should ask her.
No, of course not.
No. And then the other thing is, I bet that your parents' marriage was not as perfect as you think it is. I'm sure they had things going on behind closed doors maybe that you didn't even know about. And I'm not saying, every marriage has its stuff, okay? And a lot of times parents don't like to disclose that to their kids, and that's fine. I mean, people do have different styles of the way they live, but I find that, a lot of the people who come to me who are single in their 40s come from families whose parents have been married for 55 years and have been unbelievably happily married. Because they're constantly trying to compare their relationships to their parents' relationship. It's a big no-no. And I'm saying to you, you want someone who has it together, a good person, a nice person. The bottom line is when you go out on a date, you find out about this person. You find out about this person's background. Do you talk finances on the first date? No, you don't talk finances on the first date. As you get to know this person, you want to know if this person has a job. You have to know that this person
absolutely.
Is actually.
Absolutely. And do you want to know? You know, I know because we have a list of questions from our listeners and things that we had, and people always want to know. You know, I want to have children. Do I tell him that on the first date and like pre-qualify the person if they don't want to get married? Then on to the next person.
Okay.
You know.
What I tell people is you don't have to talk about, okay, you don't want to say, oh, my God, I want to get married. Okay, I call it the M word, married. But you can say, without sounding desperate, like, you know, because you don't want to make this guy run for the hills. You want to say, oh, you know, have you ever married? And if he says, I've been married, and say, oh, that's so, you know, it's so great. You know, one day I wouldn't mind getting married. But you want to keep it very nonchalant. You never want it to sound desperate or needy. People don't want to be around desperate, needy people, and people definitely don't want to be around negative people. So if you start bitching and moaning about your ex, he's going to be gone before you turn around.
Right. And I think that those are the kind of questions that, you know, people always ask. Do I bring up these issues? Do I, you know, talk about my ex? Do I talk about, you know, my family? You know,
no, because
all
it's
of
none of his
things.
Business.
And,
what does he care? What does he care about your ex for?
Okay,
you don't need
so
to tell him anything.
Something that is the burning girl question. What do I wear on a first date?
Oh, well, that's easy.
Alluring or sexy, or do you just look?
You wear what you.
Women
you
ask this. We have this all the time. It's a question.
I have women calling me up all the time about this, and they're sending me questions about what they wear on the first date. You want to wear what you look so amazingly hot in, and I'm not saying look like a hooker. I'm saying you want to be classy. You want to be presentable. You want to look, you show off your best assets. If it's your legs, show off your legs. If it's your boobs, show off your boobs. If it's your arms, show off your arms. If it's your eyes, I mean, you want to show off your best assets in a classy, feminine way. Men love femininity. They love women in dresses. I get more men calling me saying, why did she wear pants on the first date? What was she thinking? Now, a lot of women will say, well, who the hell is he to tell me what to wear on the first date? Sorry, ladies, this is the way it is. I'm sorry. Listen, if you want to meet a guy and you want to capture his attention, you want to get to the second date, show off your best assets. I had this woman come to me recently, 58 years old. She showed up. I'm sitting across the table from her. I'm looking at her saying, would you ever wear this on the first date? She said, yeah. I said, well, then don't expect a second date because you're not going to get one. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, first of all, your shirt, the collar is like as high as it can be. You might as well wear a turtleneck. I said, you need to show up. I said, you have these beautiful boobs. Show off a little bit of cleavage. So I took her shopping. I helped her find the right dress. I said, you have these beautiful long legs. Why are you? She said she's never worn a dress on the first date. I went to this little boutique, helped her pick out her dress, she wanted to wear flats. I said, no flats on a first date. Picked out a pair of very cute little pumps, went out on her date, actually went to a place with a girlfriend and got asked out by three different men. She said it's the first time that ever happened to her. Went out on her first date with one of the men that I introduced her to, and she wore what I told her to wear. And they got to go out on three more dates, and she said that she called me her fairy godmother, saying that I changed her life. So on a first date, Nicole, you're gorgeous, okay? You're beautiful. I notice you wear pants a lot, don't you?
I do wear pants a lot, and I wear dresses a lot, too, as well.
Good. Well, I want you to,
listen,
when you're on a first date, sweetie, you need to put on a dress, show off your best assets, and always... always be positive and have fun. You have to have fun on a first date. Be yourself. Go out of the box. Say things that might even, like, you know, shock him. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to shock somebody. It's all right. Because
it's so much fun.
Keep them wanting more.
Good. Okay. And I love that. Now, what happens if you go out on a first date with somebody and really super, supremely nice guy, but you're just not physically attracted to them, do you go out on the second date?
Absolutely, you go out on the second date, and I'll tell you why. First of all, did you ever hear of the expression that, you know...
It's not the book, it's the cover.
No. Well, that too, but people can grow on you. And what I'm talking about is, if you're with someone who is incredibly nice and has a good heart and has a good soul, and you're used to going out with very extremely handsome men, well, you can turn that around. And I call that my 180-degree turnaround when I have people changing their patterns. I have the girl who goes out with the Tom Cruise lookalike going out with a man who has a receding hairline and who might not be in perfect shape but is the most amazing person and is going to be the most incredible boyfriend and the most incredible husband someday and the most incredible father of her children someday. So I tell them, give it a chance. Go out on a second date. Go out on a third date. If you feel that you are at the point where the intimacy is about to happen, you know what? Take some chances. Have the second glass of wine. Because once he kisses you, you'll know. As soon as you get that first kiss, you'll either feel it or you won't. Make sense?
Absolutely. No, that's really wonderful. And then when women go out, you know, on dates, and this has been something personally for me, and so I'm hoping that it's really important for other women. I'm just so excited that we have you, so I get to actually ask you these questions. For me, it's really incredibly important that, like, a guy opens a door, or mm-hmm. he pulls out my chair, or that he walks me to my car if I've met him. And if he doesn't do those things, I really don't want to see him again. But somebody doesn't care about my safety or treating me like a woman. Mm-hmm. But a lot of guys say, oh, well, women hate it when I open doors for them. And so I don't open doors anymore. And I used to open doors. And so do you expect a man to, you know, treat you well and to pick up the check and to be a gentleman and to order? For, like, what are those expectations and what is...
I think it's right on what you want. I think I'm all for it. I think it's the best, greatest, most amazing thing when a man does all these things. I particularly like it too. And I do get turned off when men don't do these things. And I do have women coming to me saying, well, you know, I went out with this man and he didn't open the door for me. He didn't pay my valet. He didn't. And I will be right on top of these guys so fast you don't even know. I will completely tell them that, you know, if they want to go out on a second date, they better do the right thing. And I basically train a lot of these guys, too. I mean, a lot of men have, some of them don't even have a clue. And there are the ones who do. And hopefully, you know, that's the kind of man that you, Nicole, will, you know, will end up with. I work with men on etiquette. I work with men on dating etiquette because a lot of them, you know, their parents didn't teach them. A lot of their mothers didn't teach them, and it's kind of sad, but it's not their fault. You understand? So I love when a man opens the door for a woman, and if he doesn't, you know, if you see that he's not doing these things, then he probably isn't the one for you. Now, you can, however, if there are other things about him that you do like and you do go out on a second date, you can express that to him. My belief is if you don't tell, you don't know, okay? If we don't ask, we'll never know, right? My mother used to say to me, if you don't ask the question, how are you going to know the answer? Well,
that's a great expression.
Well, what about going out on a second date with somebody and saying, you know, you're so cute, I had such a great time with you on the first date, but I'm just kind of like one of those old-fashioned gals, and I love it when a man pulls the chair out for me, and I love it when he opens the door for me when I'm getting in the car. I love all that stuff. That stuff really just makes me so Oh, it makes me feel so good. See what happens. You have nothing to lose.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Men want to be taught.
I so appreciate that.
Men want to be taught, but they want to be taught in a certain way, and they don't want to be criticized. So if you do it the right way, rather than saying, oh, I can't believe you didn't open my door for me. Oh, my God, I can't believe you didn't pull my chair out for me. You know, when we're criticizing them, they get turned off and they feel like crap. We don't want them to feel that way. But when you say
that,
so what
happens when someone, you know, doesn't pay the tab, expects a woman to pay half or to buy their drink or, you know, because women, that was also one of the questions that was, you know, brought about to ask you today was, do you expect the man to pick up the tab when he asks you on a date or to pick up your drinks or to, yes.
Well, I always tell people that when you're on a first date, and this is what I've always done in my experiences because I was a serial dater, and I used to date so many different people. I mean, I had more first dates. I'll tell you right now, I had more first dates than anyone you've ever met, and I've always offered. So when the check would come, I'd say, oh, what do I owe? And they would say, the majority of them would say, oh, no, this is, you know, it's on me. If that ever happens when they do say, oh, well, your share is, well, then obviously they don't have enough class because, you know, my belief is I live the old-fashioned way. I'm an old-fashioned girl, and I think that men, it's a man's, it is a man's job to go out and be the provider and to go out and be the knight in shining armor. And I'm not saying women don't go out and work and don't go out and have your careers. I think it's wonderful to have, and I'm saying a lot of women do have, you know, they're the breadwinners, and sometimes they're stay-at-home dads, and that's okay too. I don't mind that. But when you're going out on a first date, the man must pick up the check. That's it. No two ways about it.
Okay. And then is it etiquette for the woman to then call or text, say, I had a wonderful time last night, thank you, or do you wait
Absolutely.
For the guy to do that?
And that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. And there's no 72-hour rule for the man to call the woman to ask her out again. These guys who think, oh, I'm going to wait 3 days to call, that's a bunch of bull. You don't wait. If you really like her and you want to see her again, you can call her up on the way home. And women who get turned off by that, that's your problem, okay? A lot of these women say, oh, he called me right away. It's such a turnoff. Well, sorry, but if he feels that he wants to see you again and he likes you, let him express his feelings, his true feelings, his genuine feelings. We're not playing games. We're not in high school anymore, okay? That's over.
I love that advice. And while you're...
Do what you feel. And, Nicole, if you go out on a date and you like this guy, it's perfectly fine for you just... But you keep it short, okay? You don't write a whole novel. You keep it short. You say, oh, thanks for a lovely evening. I'd love to do it again. Bingo, that's it. Goodbye. Thank you. And just, Nicole, that's it. No, not love Nicole, not hearts Nicole, not XOXO Nicole, just Nicole.
It's so great. I don't know how to do the symbols anyway, so I'm safe.
Good.
But
then you're safe.
As you're talking about...
My daughter taught me how to do the symbols. Okay.
But as you're talking about men, you know, and is there a 72-hour rule to call? So let's, I mean, I know we have a lot of male listeners, so let's, you know, talk about them for a minute. So men are so often insecure when it comes to approaching women. And, you know, what do they do? I have a really good friend of mine, and he said to me, and he's a pretty well-known actor. I mean, I don't think, you know, you could go a month and see a movie that he's not in. He's, you know, in a lot of movies. And he said to me, you know, I need to be a male Nicole. I need to go up to people and say, hi, you want to meet me? He said, because I'm at a bar, like, at a party, and there's a beautiful woman, and I don't know how to say hello. I don't know how to walk over and start that conversation. You know, and guys give stupid compliments. Like people say to me, you have beautiful eyes, but I'm sure you hear that all the time. I mean, what do you say? Well, yes, I do hear that all the time.
You know what? And that's okay. And I like
so
that.
So what did I say?
No, I don't mind that he said. No, I love it because he's being honest. He's being honest. You have beautiful eyes, and I'm sure you hear that all the time. Well, yeah. Well, say, yeah, I do. I hear it all the time. But thank you, because coming from you, it's different. It's something different, you know. Or I love when a man can approach a woman that way, and your friend needs to call me because I am like the perfect person to help him.
I am going to send him to
you. Oh, if I tell you how many men are so intimidated by beautiful women, they go to Starbucks, they're waiting in line for their coffee, they see a woman about to leave, and they're just looking, and they'll look at each other a few times, and nobody will do anything. And then she's gone, and there's his chance, and he'll never see her again. Well, all he needs to do is step out of line and break the ice. And there are so many ways of breaking the ice. I put some of the tips, I think I put it on my Facebook page, and I'll probably, on my next blog, I'll put some of the tips on how you can break the ice with somebody when you see someone attractive and you feel really, really intimidated. So I could probably, send you some tips on that for your listeners. But that's actually going to be in my book that I'm actually writing my book now. So
that's great. And as I'm sorry, going to interrupt you for just a second, because as you're saying that my friend needs to call you.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, he does, and so does probably every listener on this call. So how does someone find you? How does somebody reach you that wants to work with you? And I really suggest, whether you're already in a relationship, whether you're getting married and want communication advice, whether it's on how to keep your sex alive or how to find that right person, that people do reach out to you. So what's the best way for people to find you and to do that?
Well, anyone can go to my website, which is datingdesigners.com, and they'll see my contact phone number on there, and they're more than welcome to reach me by phone, or they can shoot me an email, which is lisa@datingdesigners.com. I'm also on Facebook under Lisa Conrad Cohen, matchmaker and relationship coach, so they can find me there. And I'm of course on Twitter. I have you could tweet me at Lisa Conrad Cohen. So there are several different ways of contacting me. And as far as your friend goes, one of the things I do with my male clients is I am kind of a wing woman to them. So I will take them to several, we'll go to different places. Even if it's a Starbucks early in the morning, we'll sit there and we'll just, in the middle of chatting, someone might walk in the door that they find interesting, and I will help them break the ice. I'll show them how to break the ice in a very subtle way where it's not, where the person doesn't, I don't go over and say, hi, I'm a matchmaker and I want to introduce. No, I don't do that. I do it in more like he and I are just out there as friends having coffee, and I facilitate it. I have facilitated more relationships this way that have become marriages just by being in the place, in a venue, a certain venue, whether it's Whole Foods or Starbucks or a restaurant, a club at night. So, yeah, I think it's important for these men to feel confident enough to approach women. It's not a game. It's not who could stare at each other who for a longer time. It's not like that. You have to make it happen.
We lost Nicole.
Oh.
That's okay. We can keep talking. Although you have...
am I on the air?
You're here. Yeah, you're on the air, and I'm on the air, and Nicole's phone call dropped, so
Oops.
We'll just hang to... That's okay. Like, that's how come it's good to have a backup person here. Otherwise, you might be sitting there not sure. So,
hello?
Oh, Nicole, you're back.
Oh, there
still
she
here.
Is. She's back. She's
I'm
back.
Still here, yes.
She's back.
I have
Nicole,
a last
did
no.
you hear the last thing I said? I don't know if you heard what I said about the...
The Starbucks, yes.
Yes, okay. Good.
Yes. So, no, I'm still with you. No problem.
Oh, good.
Sorry,
we thought we lost you. I thought you ran to Starbucks.
I did run to Starbucks to have my chai latte.
There you go.
And I think it's such great advice. And then one of the other questions, also, since we do have the male listeners, and even for female listeners, is a lot of people are confirmed bachelors or bachelorettes, or they're in their 30s or 40s, or they've done their careers. And now all of a sudden they wake up one day and they say, gosh. I want a family, and they're really ready. And, I went to a birthday party for a friend of mine who's a prince. He's a royal prince, a real prince. They actually have a fleet of over 100 yachts and boats, and the smallest one is $14 million. They own private islands.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to his birthday party, and what do you bring a royal prince that has everything? And I went to a dollhouse store and I bought him a wife and two kids because it was the only thing I knew he didn't have. And, you know, my gift was the hit of his party, but I actually brought him a wife and kids. And I had a huge fight with the person at the dollhouse store that I didn't buy the man, but I just bought the wife and kids.
Oh,
but people that are ready for a family or, you know, they're in a relationship and now all of a sudden they want to take it to the next level and they want that. What advice do you give to take that next step in your own life just to start dating for that or in a relationship to start moving towards that?
Well, if you're in a relationship, I mean, I get that all the time. I have people saying, well, we're dating 2 years, 3 years, and nothing. I'm still waiting. I'm wondering, you know, when is he going to ask me to marry him? Is that what you're saying, basically?
Yes.
Okay. I have a couple now who's been dating for about 2.5 years, and, you know, they are the most incredible. They're adorable. I really believe that it's important to know where your life is going to be, you know, where it's heading. You don't want to be strung along. The advice I would give is to the men who are afraid, because a lot of these men are very afraid of commitment. They know, okay, once they get married, this is it. If you have a good thing and you have an amazing woman at your side, don't screw it up, because what's going to happen is she's going to get so tired of waiting that if you lose her, you may lose her, you'll lose her for good. And I have more men coming to me who say to me, you know, I blew it. I'm here now. I'm single. It's 5 years later. She's married to someone else. I didn't have the guts to ask her to marry me. And now I wish I did. If I could turn the clocks back, if I could just, you know, do it again, if I only had that, you know, Lisa, if I had you to tell me and give me that, just that little push. So a lot of these men do regret not making that move to go to the next level. And as far as, having children, you need to be on the same page. If one person is wanting children and the other one isn't wanting children, then it's not going to work. You both really have to have that same feeling and at the same time, but you can't wait. You can't keep thinking, okay, this is the time to have children. As long as you're both financially, and you don't have to be rich. I'm not saying people don't have to be rich. You don't have to have oodles and oodles and oodles of money to have children. Having children is the greatest thing, as far as I'm concerned, on the planet. If you have a good relationship, if you're happy and you like each other and you really are best friends, having children can make it that much better. But having children is a 24/7 job, and you have to know that going into it. So you have to be ready for it. You know, are you both going to work? You need to discuss things. Is one person going to give up their job? Is one person going to be a stay-at-home mom or dad? You can't just do things without talking about them first. You have to prepare, you know, but you have to be on the same page. When it comes to parenting, you both want to be the same kind of parents. You know, you both want to, if you want to live a healthy lifestyle and eat healthy, then you want your child to eat healthy. You want to just both be on the same page. And it's really important to take classes, in becoming a parent and learning all of the, you know, the important things you need to be a good parent. Read books. Pick up. There's so many books out there that you could both read, not just the mother, but the father too. I think, you know, being on the same page is really, really important in a healthy relationship.
Oh, that's such great advice. And it's funny because, you know, when you thought that you had lost me for a second or whatever, actually the Chris Carruthers and Danielle Barbosa, the wedding singers, our last week's guests, were calling in.
Chris Carruthers and I did it. I love
that.
Chris. Oh, I love Chris. He's great.
Yes. And they were on last week's show, and they're now married, you know, and fell in love through the process of singing and through their relationship. And I know that people have already, you know, been booking them for their weddings, and that they're just, you know,
oh,
what a beautiful
fabulous.
Book. And they did such a great, but they were just trying to call in to be able to talk to you, you thought I was gone for a second. So I need to technically learn how to patch everybody through, but they're, you know, because they were just so excited that you were on the call. And
so I won't be able to talk to them.
I agree with you completely. so that I know that they love you. And yes, and so it's great that you can
tell
validate
them I
how
love
fabulous
them too.
They are. I will. And this is so exciting, you know, just having you here. And okay, in our last few minutes, we have all the great sex questions. People, I love this guy. I can't have an orgasm. Or what if does the sex after I have a baby is not the same? Or is there any advice that you can give, any little tidbits? I know people are going to go to your websites and calling you, but anything for our listeners that really you can just fill their hearts
of course.
That this is good, yes.
Well, I actually, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, you know, share a lot of intimate things with me, and everything they talk to me about is completely confidential. So if anybody wants any kind of private coaching, I just want you to, you know, them to know that it's absolutely, you know, just confidential between them and I, and I'm happy to help them with anything. I had a couple once that I introduced to each other, and they really were having a great time dating, and then it got intimate to that next level, to the intimacy, and it really was great. And then she called me one day and said, you know, I have a problem, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know if it's me or if it's him, but I can't, you know, reach an orgasm with him. And I said, well, tell me about it. And so she told me, you know, she gave me some details, and I basically said, well, you know, I'm happy to discuss it with him. And she said, oh, no, you can't, you know, I don't want him to know. So I said, well, I'm going to give you some instructions on what to tell him when you're in the moment. And try it, just try it. And do it the way I'm telling you to do it. I wrote her a script. And so she was looking at
that.
And it was kind of like, you know, like a manual on how to have an orgasm. So she did what I told her, and they're now married. Let's see, how long have they been married? They've been married almost 8 years, 2 kids later, happier than ever, and are just have an amazing sex life. So, you know, I do help people in that area. And it's really important to be able, here we go again with the communication, communicate with mm-hmm. your partner. And if the partner gets defensive, then that's okay. You know, people don't want it. They don't want criticism. Okay, people don't want to be told that they're doing something wrong. But if there's a way to say it, there's a playful way to say things to people. There's a way to tell people things. It's the tone you use, and it's how you say it. And if you do it playfully, then I will guarantee you it will work.
I love that.
And Nicole, I could definitely talk to you when you have the time. If you want to, you know, if you have any, of course, if you ever need any advice on anything, you know, I'm here for you because you were so nice to have me on your show.
Oh, it's what a blessing and what a gift for our audience. And I know people are going to want to reach out and find you on whatever level.
And also, I just want to
tell somebody just starting or yes.
And I want to say something very important out there. All of you people who are in relationships and are married, don't think that the grass is greener on the other side, okay? Because a lot of these people who think, oh, you know, this isn't going well, that's not going well, it would be so much better if it was with someone. If you have the really important ingredients already in your relationship, don't run away from it. It takes work. A relationship is work. A marriage is work. A family is work. And if you want to put the work into it, then you can have a very healthy and successful life and a very beautiful life with the person who loves you, who really cares about you. Because in the end, this is the person who has your back. You don't want to blow that. You don't want to blow that to go out and have an affair just because somebody is trying to get your attention. Just remember, in the end, the person who has your back is the person who you should be with. That's the person. And put the work into it, and it will totally pay off. And make it happen. You see that person in Starbucks, and you make it happen. You have one chance.
Such a
right?
joy having you on, and I am so excited working with you. And we're going to have to bring you back where we track my progress.
Oh, we'll keep track of your love life.
So
I would love that.
This would be so much fun to do this with you. And then, again, would you please make sure that our guests know how to reach you? Because I really, like I said, whether this is you're just beginning to find the love of your life, whether you're just starting to plan your wedding, whether you're married and trying to improve your relationship, or whether you're starting over again, and this is a new marriage after many, many years, and it's new waters for you at this particular point in time in your life, or if you just want relationships, people should reach out and find you. So please tell us.
And women who have been married for 25 years who are now starting over and in their 40s or 50s and they want to get their sexy back and they want to get their confidence
absolutely
back, call me. I am here to help you. Best way to reach me is go to my website, datingdesigners.com. You'll see my contact information, or Lisa@datingdesigners. I'm on Twitter under Lisa Conrad Cohen. And I am on Facebook, Lisa Conrad Cohen, Matchmaker Relationship Coach.
You certainly are, and you're such a gift, and so talented, and so knowledgeable. And I really, I'm just thrilled that you were on the show today and able to join us. So thank you, Nicole.
I love being with you.
Thank you.
I love you, hon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too. All right. And for all our listeners, please find Lisa Conrad Cohen, the matchmaking and relationship expert at Dating Designers. And next week, we will have Barry Selby on. And Barry Selby is amazing. He teaches people how to communicate through their heart. And he has many books on how the heart relates and how the heart communicates, and especially in relationship, how your heart truly speaks to somebody else and the messages that it's sending, the way it receives messages, and the way that that shares intimacy, how that shares as far as your family, your growth, or your relationships, your business associates, everything, and the secrets and the relationship of the heart are just thrilling. And following Barry Selby, we have the Lefko Institute, Shelley Lefko, which will be teaching step-parenting if you're marrying somebody with children, how you go about doing that relationship. And then one of my very favorite people on the planet, Dr. Lise Janelle, who is teaches us open heart communication, but Dr. Lise Janelle is going to teach us wedding jitters, which I think we all need when you have wedding jitters, how to not be stressed out, how to de-stress, how to deal with your family, your in-laws, the wedding planner, send to get your invitations, your bands, getting closer to that date, getting cold feet, how to deal with your best man and his crazy speech and whatever that is, and how to get through all those moments leading up to it, and how to get to the day of your wedding. And so she will be doing, teaching us how to deal with wedding jitters. We also have coming up how to feng shui your house for the perfect relationship, and how to feng shui your bedroom if you're trying to get pregnant and have that special child. And then we also have real estate advice, how to buy your very first home together, how to buy property, how to combine your single apartments, your single houses, your single lives into one unified place and space in which to live. And then we will also have how to combine your money. Do you combine your money? Do you combine your bank accounts and all of that? So those are upcoming shows, which we are very excited to have. But today we are very gifted and very grateful that we have Lisa Conrad Cohen, the matchmaker and relationship expert that you can find on datingdesigners.com. And I encourage you all to reach out to her, whether you are just beginning, whether you are in a marriage, whether you're in a 25-year marriage, and that this is really someone that can offer you advice from communication, sexuality, passion, being yourself, and having the life you have always dreamed of somebody. So I thank you for joining us today from Hourglass Brides. We wish you a wonderful week and look forward to speaking to you again next week. Thank you for being with us. Have a great day.